Well, this morning we are starting a new series of messages that will take us into the first Sunday of November. In this series, we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about our character and our reputation. And not just our character and reputation, but these two topics in general. What the Bible has to say about character and about reputation. The two are linked together and are easy to get confused, but they're not exactly the same. And unfortunately, our reputation is oftentimes an imperfect reflection of our character. With the advent of social media and displaying of people's lives and opinions for the world to see, with the chaos that the world is in right now, some of the tension in our nation even, a lot of people are speaking out, not always a lot of listening. In light of that, spending time considering our character and reputation, listening to God on this topic, I think is important right now. And I would suggest to you that the importance of this topic is especially true for Christians, because everything we say or do isn't just a reflection of ourselves, but is also a reflection upon Jesus Christ. There is a bigger ramification to how we live our lives. Our character and our reputation impacts how people perceive God, Jesus in particular. And for those who have never cracked open a Bible, never set foot in a church, never really even heard the name of Jesus, that's especially true. That they perceive Christians, how they perceive Christians is how they perceive Jesus. So I'm not one to usually just give dictionary definitions to key words. But to get us all on the same page, I want to do that here this morning with character and reputation. As with any word, there are various definitions, sometimes overlapping and similar, and you wonder, like, why does the dictionary even list all those? They're pretty much all the same. Sometimes they're very different. You know, character can refer to a person in a book or a movie. It can refer to a symbol, like in a language, like a character in the alphabet, a letter in the alphabet. But that's not the kind of character we're talking about here. We're talking about character that is about our moral and ethical values, and I would say also our spiritual values. Well, the definitions I'll share here tend to focus don't include spiritual usually, but that is for us as Christians certainly. So character is, this is Oxford Dictionary at lexico.com, character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And then there's some sub-definitions that I thought were helpful that below that give variations on that, such as strength and originality in a person's nature, or the distinctive nature of something, or even a person's good reputation. So there we start to see the mingling of reputation and character, even in the definition of character. Pastor A.W. Tozer lived until maybe the mid-1960s or so, said that character is the excellence of moral beings. Just as purity is the excellence of gold, beauty is the excellence of art, winning is the excellence of the Seahawks, so the excellence of people is our character. Of course, not all people's character is so excellent, right? That's why we have police officers and courts and prisons. This is what character is that we're talking about here in this series. Reputation means the belief or opinions that are generally held about someone or something. With a sub-definition, the very next one, I think there might have only been one other one, a widespread belief that someone or something has a particular habit or characteristic. So just as reputation showed up in the definition of character, here the word character, as the root for the word characteristic, shows up in the reputation or in the definition of reputation. So again, we see this intermingling between the two, but they are not the same. So a person's reputation, or a church's reputation, or an organization's reputation, or a denomination's reputation, or a religion's reputation, is what is generally held by others in regards to that person or that organization or whatever it may be. It's that widespread belief or understanding. So our desire as Christians is that our reputation and our character are in alignment with each other as much as possible. The widespread belief that is generally held about us individually, that is held about us as a church in the community of Kirkland, Redmond, Woodville, the east side here, beyond, wherever it may go, where that reputation may go. That ought to be the same or very similar to our character. Again, the moral and I'll say also spiritual qualities that make us distinctive as individuals and as a corporate body, as a church. I would also suggest to you, however, that our character, especially on the individual level perhaps, is not usually as good or as bad as our reputation is. You're probably more likely to have, if you have good character and people know it, you're going to have praise heaped upon you for that perhaps in some setting or situation. You might be like, thank you, and not quite as good as you think. And the opposite is true as well. When you mess up and maybe your reputation is tarnished, that doesn't mean your whole character is bad like that. So again, what we see is that our reputation is an imperfect reflection of our character. And in this series, we're going to look at a number of passages in the Bible that speak to both our character and our reputation and why they both matter. Starting with today's passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. I invite you to follow along on the screen, Bible if you brought it, whatever you've got. This is God's word to you and me today. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So God, today, through this passage, through this message, and looking ahead to the next few weeks in this series, we pray, God, you would speak to us about our character, about our reputation, how they are linked together, and how we might live with good character and with a good reputation for your glory. And we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as many proverbs are, this one is written from the perspective of a parent to a son. It's really a common thread we see throughout all 31 proverbs. We see it even like at almost the very beginning. There's the first seven verses, kind of an introduction to the book of Proverbs. Then the eighth verse says this: Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So we see that kind of a theme throughout, that it's passing on wisdom, information, advice from one generation to the next. And then what we see also is that throughout the Proverbs, there's an emphasis on gaining wisdom. It's esteemed, it's held up, it's valued. In fact, just a short bit later in Proverbs 4, verse 7, we read this verse. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. I don't know if I'd ever noticed that verse before. The beginning of this is wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. There's got to be some correlation to answering the question of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, that's kind of how it feels. Like you have to have wisdom to get wisdom, but it's the beginning of wisdom, but what comes first, having wisdom or getting it, right? So Proverbs, more than any other book in the Bible, and perhaps next followed by James, which we spent a couple of months in this last spring, Proverbs really emphasizes getting wisdom and living with wisdom. So in the first couple of verses of today's passage, in Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, the father is teaching his son some lessons. And then there is a promise of blessing that comes with it. This wisdom can help prolong your years. It will give you peace in life, and this wisdom will bring prosperity. At the end of today's reading, at the last couple of verses, we see another promise that the Lord will make your paths straight. Okay? No crooked paths in life, no detours off the right path when we trust God and lean not on our own understanding, when we lean into the Lord instead. So we have these promises that kind of bookend or sandwich a couple of verses in between. And we get two things in verse 3 that in the language of our series, we could call character traits. And they are love and faithfulness. They're sandwiched in between these blessings of benefits of living with wisdom, long life, and straight paths. So these are characteristics or values that are near and dear to God's heart, and they matter to the life of the Christian. This should come as no surprise to any of us who have followed Jesus for any length of time. In fact, in Matthew 22, Jesus boils down the entire law and prophets, is the phrase that he uses. And that is referring to, the law refers to, I can refer a couple different things, but primarily refers to the first five books of the Bible, sometimes called the Pentateuch. So the first five books of the Bible, the Old Testament, as we call it, are the law, and then the prophets are the prophetic writings. All told, it's probably like 60 or 65% of what you and I know as the Old Testament. For Jesus in their day as Jews, it was their Bible. So Jesus is saying 65% or so of what you know as God's word hangs on and boils down to two great commandments. Love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. So love is explicitly lifted up by Jesus. And we see in this proverb, right? You want to bind it around your neck, write it on the tablet of your heart. Love is a central theme. And then faithfulness is one of the great attributes of God. So is, of course, God's love. But one of the great attributes of God that we see throughout Scripture. Psalm 100, verse 5, for example, says this, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever." So there we get love as well. "His faithfulness continues through all generations." So the love is, our love is fashioned after God's love, which endures forever, but we also see his faithfulness. God is faithful. He's faithful to generation after generation after generation. Lamentations 3:23 famously reminds us that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is your God's faithfulness. And we see that theme throughout. There's just a couple of examples. God loves the world, and he is faithful to the world, particularly to those he has created in his image. And we are to have that same character, this love and faithfulness. This is what the proverb tells us. Why? Why is it important for us to embody these characteristics? The answer actually comes in the very next verse. We don't have to go very far. Verse 4 of Proverbs 3. We read this, "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and people," humankind. I think, I would suggest to you, we Christians tend to focus on the themes of this verse, whether you know this verse or not explicitly, the themes that come out, we tend to focus on the themes in this verse up until the last two words. A lot of us would agree without even thinking much about it that yes, we want to have love and faithfulness as central characteristics of who we are so that we will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. Period, end of sentence. I think we tend to focus on that. We want to have God's favor. We want to live in a way that pleases God. We know that God forgives us. We know that when we mess up, God still is good to us and loves us and cares for us, but we don't want to abuse that, and so we want to live rightly. We want to have a good name with God. We want to have God's favor, but I think we frequently do not include the last two words here about maintaining the good name for the sake of people, for gaining the favor of people around us, and quite frankly, it's understandable why. We are not called as Christians to be people pleasers. We're called to please God. That's who we are in relationship with. We're in relationship with people as well, but we are called to please God. Jesus said, I mean, another thing that influences all of this, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Paul writes in Romans, this is chapter 8, verse 5, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires." So he's criticizing that. "But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." We don't want to be worldly and concerned about things of the flesh, as he puts it. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And it's meant in part, not so much to like boast on his, but to encourage us not to be ashamed of it. Don't worry, and you'll put all this together and other verses and passages like it. Don't worry about what others think about your faith. Just live it out regardless of the consequences. And of course, then we revere Christians who have suffered for what they believe, starting with, I mean, Jesus was put on the cross. Paul suffered, put in prison. Other early Christians were too. Christians around the world still today are persecuted. So we revere those people. We lift them up. Martyrs. We have a whole word about it. People who are hated for their beliefs. You add it all up, and it leaves us in a place where we very much believe, want to believe, say, and do things that please God. So we'd have a good name with him without really giving much thought to the name that we have with people. Or maybe even intentionally believing that we shouldn't worry about that, that it's not godly to be concerned about what other people think about us. But this proverb says that our good character of love and faithfulness is not only to give us a good name with God, but also with people. We might wonder why we should care about that. Why should we care what our reputation is? Why should we care to have a good name with the people around us? Well, elsewhere in Scripture, it doesn't get into it here in this passage, but elsewhere in Scripture, we learn that we are to have a good reputation with people for God's sake. And I don't mean that phrase in an unholy kind of way. I literally mean we want to have a good name, our good name, our good reputation for the sake of the Lord, for his reputation. It's not for our own benefit. This is not about our name or our ego or our fame. It is all about making Jesus known and doing so in a way that others will be attracted to him. So character trumps reputation. Character is the starting point. It's the foundation. But reputation matters. Your reputation, my reputation, our church's reputation, the reputation of the church with a capital C matters, because in the eyes of the world, our reputation is God's reputation. How people perceive you as a Christian may be the only experience someone has about who Jesus is. There are a myriad of Bible passages that speak to this. And we're just going to look at, I think it's four of them, briefly. For instance, the nation of Israel was not always faithful to God, as you know. In exile in the 500s AD because they had not been faithful to God, in fact. And God says through the prophet Ezekiel these words. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, he's telling Ezekiel what to say to them. This is what the Lord says, the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. So here we see that their poor representation of God led to a poor reputation of God. And now God is saying that he's going to fix that through them, through the nation of Israel, through his people. God will be proved through you, through Israel, through God's people, before their eyes, before the eyes of the non-believers. How they live, how Israel, that is, lives, how they carry out their faith, how they act, how they revere God is going to have an impact on how the world around them understands who God is. In Romans 2, Paul writes this, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of who? You. In other words, there are people who profess these things, who taught these things, who professed a good character, who taught good character, good morals, all that kind of stuff. But Paul is questioning whether or not they live it out. With the end result being that, in fact, that God's name is blasphemed before the Gentiles, before the non-believing world, in other words. God's reputation is tarnished because of their reputation. In Titus, and this doesn't get so much to the reputation of God in the non-believers, but does speak to our own about why we live in with good character. We read these verses, and they're written to the church, to people who are helping to disciple and raise up new believers. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. So what we have here is a list of character traits. People of high character engage in these things, okay? And then the verse continues. So that, here's why you do those things, so that those who oppose you, that is, non-believers, that they may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Our reputation matters. Good character traits lead to a good reputation among those who are not believers, among the world, we might say. We want that good reputation. We should be aware of what our reputation is. Lastly, I'll point to one thing that Jesus says that pertains to this. Very famous passage in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A town or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. I want to invite you to read these last words with me. Let your light shine before others, and then that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus is saying here that the reason we live rightly, the reason we live with high character, such as love and faithfulness in our, that we read about in our Proverbs passage, the reason we live in a right relationship with Jesus, as right as we can, yes, we stumble, is so that people would see your good deeds, see your high character. Character isn't just about what you believe. It's about how you live it out. And glorify your Father in heaven. Our character and our reputation matter. And both are for the purpose of making God known and that God would have a good reputation. But Jesus makes it clear that even that isn't the final goal, actually. He takes a step further here. We see it elsewhere. It's so that others would glorify God. In the end, it's not like God just says, I want my name to be famous. And that's it. You go back to that Ezekiel passage, it's not just that God wants to be known as holy. It's so that others would come to be in relationship. There still is another end in mind here. And Jesus makes that very clear here in this passage. So that others would glorify their Father in heaven. This good character and reputation with people is so that they would be attracted to a relationship with God. And the greatest influence on our reputation is undoubtedly our character. What we believe and value and that we then live it out. I think that's one place where the Oxford Dictionary kind of comes up short. It talks about, you know, your morals and that kind of stuff, your ethics. But it doesn't really talk about living it out. Jesus definitely puts emphasis on that. Without high character, we will never have a good reputation. So we have to focus on the character. If you don't have high character, your reputation is going to be low also. And therefore, as Christ followers, if we don't live with good character, neither will Jesus have a good reputation. How we live out our faith, how we treat others, how we communicate what we believe and so forth, severely impacts how people perceive the Christian faith and how they perceive Jesus. So we have to start there with our core values and our beliefs and how we live them out. We can't believe one thing and live in another way that's contradictory to that. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Those who teach not to steal, do you also steal? Those who abhor idols and, you know, say don't have idols, do you have them in your life? You can't teach one thing and live another. You can't profess one thing and live another. That's not high character. We've seen it in these verses that we've looked at. Character is not just about what we believe. It's about how we live them out. And when we live them out rightly, people are attracted to Jesus, and that's the whole point. And as Proverbs 3 highlights, and as Jesus does as well, as Scripture tells us, is the heart of God's very being, love and faithfulness is the key to living with biblical character and with a good name with God and with people. We want to love God and we want to love people. We want to be faithful to God and be faithful to our neighbor. We want to live in such a way that Jesus' reputation is good and the people around us are attracted to him. A good reputation with God and with people can be done. You can have both. You can have both. Scripture tells us to work on both. So I hope this week that you are encouraged to live with good character and a good reputation so that you'd have God's favor and also so that you'd have the favor of those around you. Not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the name of Jesus. And ultimately, for the benefit of those people that are around you, that they would know Jesus in their lives as well. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that you do love us, that you are faithful, and that you invite us and call us and even command us to live with these characteristics written upon the tablets of our hearts, to be characteristics that define who we are, that would radiate out like light shining out from us for the world to see. And so God, help us to live with love. Help us to live with faithfulness and all the other great characteristics that are a part of you and that you invite us to live into as well. May we be people. May we be a church of high character and of a good reputation. Not for our fame, not for our glory, but for yours, and so that the world around us would come to know you and glorify you as well. We pray all of this in the strong, certain, and high character name of Jesus Christ. And all the church said together, amen.